that there was an Easter Bunny. I just never told him there weren't. Okay? I know. But you know what I did? I just went ahead, like my grandkids. You know, I don't go around and do that because, honestly, that's something their parents, that's between them and their parents, and it's not for me. Well, Pawpaw told me, oh, that's how you get them to come around a lot, right? Yeah, that's really how you do it. Yeah. Okay. Let's get out of the truthful part because there is times where you just need to keep your mouth shut. If you just keep your mouth shut, listen. A closed mouth gathers no foot. Okay? If you just remain silent, sometimes just remain silent because just like somebody comes up to you, and here's what they'd say. Was there a Santa Claus? I'll say, well, I'm going to tell you what. There was a guy years ago called St. Nicholas. He was real. And he took care of little youngins and gave them toys. And I said, there's a tradition that keeps on going, honoring him. Now, was that the truth? Okay. You need to put your hands over Liam's ears while we're talking about it. Okay. So here we go. All right. Your words need to be pleasing to God. Well, if they're truthful, that's going to be pleasing, but you still got to watch how you say it. Because remember what I said last time? You tell your wife, she says, how do I look? You can tell her, look. You can say, honey, when I look at you, time stands still. Or when I look at you, honey, you got looks that will stop an 8-day clock. It's the same thing. One's going to get you popped. Okay. So now, your words are to be pleasing to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Or, these are the words of my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God, my altar, my rock. So, again, pleasing to God. So if your words are pleasing to God, if you're going to go to somebody and give them a piece of your mind, number one, most of the time you can't afford it. I need all the mind I can get. So, I think God has a sense of humor, or I'm not sure. I thought my class started this week, and I thought my new class was going to be personality disorders, and I had a bunch of y'all picked out to use for it. And instead of, that's next semester. They changed it. So this semester, believe it or not, is human communication. They did not know that I was doing this. So I just thought that was pretty cool. That's how God works. All right. So, my words need to be pleasing to God. It'll please God if I do these following things. Here's how you please God. Look, first, you got to be truthful. I should put pleasing God first, but I put truthful first. Remember, I should put pleasing God. But they're interchangeable because God doesn't deal in lies. God deals in truth. Satan deals in lies. Now, here we go. Your words are to be life-giving. The tongue has the power of life and death. So are your words, I like to use this with married couples and with your children. Your words need to be redemptive words. Redemptive. Always use redemptive words when you're talking to somebody. Redemptive words are words that lift up. Redemptive words are words that actually have the ability to bring somebody's spirits up. I love to go in the store and talk to somebody and watch them light up just with one sentence. No. How many would love to go into a grocery store tomorrow and see 10 people and see 10 people lit up when you walk by? I'm going to tell you how you can do it. So easy. Have 10 $100 bills, put one in each other's hands. No. I'm playing. No, honestly. You know, I walk by. You got to find a sincere compliment. Sincere. How many's been in a new food line in Washington? I couldn't figure out why there were so many people lined up out there. And so I went on like the fifth day, and it looks like Harris Teeter inside. It does not look like Food Line. It looks like Harris Teeter. And they said it's the new model for Food Line. So the other food lines look like Fred Flintstone, and this is George Jefferson. I mean, not George Jefferson, George Jetson. Yeah, I've been there twice. It's awesome. Yeah, it's got some good prices, and it's also got some good stuff that it didn't have in the other store. So, and I didn't think the Piggly Wiggly looked that big when Piggly Wiggly had it. It's humongous. So here we go though. Here we go. I went through the other night, and one the guy there were people And it's amazing because everybody's kind of standing around. And I walked up and I saw one girl that was at that checkout line. And I just walked to her and said, you know what? You're a credit to this place. That smile you got on your face when people walk up is so amazing. Next thing I know, all of them started smiling. Yes. No, they don't. And I've noticed this too. They don't give you back your change. If your change is just a few cents, no, I'm talking, they don't even give it back, period. In the last couple of weeks, like today, I stopped and got some munchkins to give to Robbie and Boo. And it was like 5:33. And so I gave her 5:35. She never gave me a 2 cent back. Then I stopped tonight on the way back through in Grantsburg. Yeah. And then I come back through and it was the price was like $5.03. So I gave them $5.10. It was $5.07. So I had a dime and I had 2 pennies. So I put a dime up there, five, a dime, and 2 pennies. So I'd get back a nickel. So I gave it back to the guy, and the guy reached up and handed me 2 pennies and said, here, you gave me too much. I said, no. I said, just put it in the calculator up there. I said, I'm getting back a nickel instead of 3 pennies. He goes, oh, that what you doing? Yeah. Because they're not being taught how to count back change anymore. If that thing goes down, I've had them honestly sit there and try to count it because the computer went down, and they could not count back change. They were going back and counting, calling the manager to help them count back change, and it's pitiful. It is so pitiful. It's the millennials. It's pitiful. What I was going to say is we done it to them. What I was going to say is, though, getting back to this thing, though, I told that person her smile was a compliment to the company. And then one guy come up to me. After I said that, another guy come up and took a card out of my way, moved it right out of the way. And I said, it looks like Harris Teeter. He said, no, this is better than Harris Teeter. I said, that's the way I like to hear it. You're going places. And that's kind of somebody's going, yeah, we got really good stuff. I mean, but you know what? Before I left out of that place, everybody was just, you know, we were having a ball. We were having a good old Kumbaya, my Lord song, you know. Yeah. We were having a good time, you know. But say again, I wanted to say something that didn't make up stuff. You don't make it up. You know, you just don't make it up. Because they don't know if you're not sincere. You got to give them a sincere compliment. Within the first, I call it a 3-second rule. Within the first 3 seconds of seeing somebody, you need to figure out immediately within 3 seconds something that you can compliment them on. And then give them a compliment. Because you know what you do? You're going to go ahead and you're going to pull down walls. And if they're afraid of you, you're going to pull those down. Because if you go up there looking like this, I'm telling you, they're not going to want to smile at you. You know, your own wife don't want to smile at you. Why do you think they want to smile at you? Well, I took care of that one time. The guy kept vacuuming the same spot. And so is it night and he's vacuuming the same spot? And so I walked right over to the receptacle and pulled the cord out. And he's going. And I moved over to the side and he kept trying to figure this thing out. He's working the buttons, working everything, he's scratching his head. Then he go look at the other end of the cord. Still scratch his head. Because by the time he's looking again, I plugged the cord back in. He goes, oh, okay. Well, it's bad. Like last night, we went into food line because I was leaving my mother-in-law. I was leaving the food line, and there was somebody using a gas-powered floor buffer, and it smelled so bad in there. And so I went to somebody and I said, "Look, I used to do safety and environmental at Fountain." Said, if Diener comes in here or OSHA, they're going to shut you down. you got to stop this. Yeah. You know, and she went, who's Diener? Department of Environmental and Natural Resources. Okay, what do they do? I said, okay, OSHA. Who's OSHA? I said, never mind, just check me out. Yeah. So here we go, though. So words of life giving. And even that last night with that company, I told them about that. That was life giving. I was not making some big thing. Okay. Number four, your words are to be encouraging. You encourage one another and build up each other just as in the fact you're doing it. He's telling Thessalonica, he said, y'all are already doing this, but I want you to keep on doing this. Some of y'all are already doing it, but just make sure you keep it up. Don't tear people down. Tearing people down is not the way. You know, I got folks in my family that I see them tear people all apart, and it drives me up the wall. And there's even some people in my own family that I honestly have decided that the best way I can get along with them is in little short spans. Just little short spans, because if I give them too much span, they're going to find more things. Now, they got the 3-second negative rule. Within 3 seconds, they found something about you to complain about. And that's not cool. And you tell them, and they keep on doing it. So sometimes it's just better not to back away from them and do the cold shoulder or do this. Just, you know, it's not going to work. So just walk up, let them know you love them. You know, if it's in your family, let them know you love them. Be there for them. If they need you, break your neck to help them. But when you know that they're going to be that way in communication, just keep the communication short and simple. Because if you don't, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Okay? Hopefully none of y'all have got any of those in your family. But if you do, or you got a coworker like that, okay? Now, because the more you engage, the more you're going to get hurt. All right. So, your words are to be gracious. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. In other words, you know, I've seen people talk themselves right out of the victory. Talk themselves right out of it. I've seen them hurt people, hurt themselves, you know, and not even think twice about it. And it's really, really, really bad. So you got to think about these things. It's like this: the words of a wise person are gracious. The talk of a fool self-destructs. He starts out talking nonsense and ends up spouting insanity and evil. Number six, your words are to be wise. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. God gives all of us the ability to discern. Did you know, I've heard people say, well, you got the gift of discernment. Well, we've all got discernment. There is some that have a really strong gift in it, but, you know, everybody's got discernment, but the way discernment, you have to grow your discernment. You can grow it. The way you grow it is you get in His Word. The more words you put in your head, the more wisdom that you put in your head, then it will be in there and it'll start working. And as you put more wisdom in your head and as you read more books and read more stuff and study more stuff, what you're doing is you are actually building your ability to discern, because now you got more things to check against. If something's right here and I have nothing to go by, it's going to hurt because it's going to hit me. But if I got one thing to know, it may hit me. That's one way I can discern. But now if I got all this other stuff lined up in me, stuff I've studied, then my discernment's going to grow. It don't have to be here. It can be there, and I know better. So again, discernment. Just like intuition can grow. Did you know that? Your intuition can grow just by experience, by learning God's Word, and by taking situations as experience. Okay? Experience. So here we go. Words be wise. Here's the one I have a problem with. I have to admit, I have a problem here. I know I'm the only one up here, Stephen. I mean, so I can play with him like that. See, I couldn't do that to Frankie. All right. Well, I could do that to Frankie, too. She'd laugh. See, she's laughing now. I was trying to make a point. Okay. All right. And she just laughed when I said Stephen. She's still laughing over that one. Okay. You're That's right. Okay. Your words are to be few. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Wow. The more talk, the less truth, the wise measures their words. And it's like this. Say what you got to say, but you ain't got to keep reinforcing it. Blah, 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 blah. Because you know what? If you just keep reinforcing it, you know what it becomes? Nagging. Tell me the truth and let me soak on it for a while. Don't nag me to death. All right? If you're going to nag me, I just really not. You know, here's one. Here's a good one. Your words are to be timely. If I wait, if it's pouring rain out there and I don't tell you till you've already gone halfway to your car, hey, you might need an umbrella. What's happening? I'm not timely. If I tell you while you're in here, you might need an umbrella because it's pouring rain out there, then I'm timely. All right? So the same way, you got to be timely in your talk. It says, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word or word in season? I remember one time, I wanted to put this up here for your words need to be gracious, but I remember one time a woman came up to me. We had the whole altar filled with people praying. And I reached over to the woman and I said, can I help you? I know y'all have heard, some of y'all have heard this. And she said, Pastor, she said, I've been constipated for a month. You won't believe some of the stuff I hear up there. She said, I've been constipated for a month. And she says, I'm about to die. She said, will you please pray that God will help me? And without even thinking, this is the honest truth, without even thinking, I grabbed her like this and I said, Lord, loose her and let her go. That's the truth. That's the truth. I don't know how good it helped, but I know that she was in the back room at the end of the service. But my wife looked at me and said, she told my wife, don't you ever do that to me. Do you hear me? Don't ever do that to me. She said, all those people around heard you. I said, well, I didn't think about it. I was just, you know, I was getting spiritual. I was anointed. Praise God. Loose her and let her go. She said, I need to be loose. There it was. All right. No. Yeah. And I remember one time I was praying for this woman and she had all this hairspray in her hair and she had oil right here. And there was a prayer line, and she's going through the prayer line, and I'm trying to pray for her, and she comes through, because they were walking through the prayer line. Brother Haysop had it going on. Like, there was preachers all lined up, and they were going through the prayer line, and she comes through here, and she went, and she did like that. And so I went to put my hand on her forehead, and when I did, I got my hair caught in her hair. My hand got caught in her hair, and she had that hairspray, and she came through, and she went, oh. And somebody said, she got the Holy Ghost. I said, no, she got my hand. But of course the funniest, I'm also going to tell this one while I'm at it. The funniest was the woman, Brother Hasten weighed about 250, this woman weighed about 350. And he's always had me standing behind her, behind people to pray for him, and she said, I just don't have the victory, Brother Hasten. He said, hold on, sister, and I was standing behind her, and he said, in the name of Jesus, you got the victory. And he popped her on the forehead and said, claim it, sister. And she grabbed his lapel and pulled him back. And she landed on her back. He landed around top. He was doing this. And he landed around top of her just like that. And I was out of the way. And after service, Brother Hasten called me to the side and said, why didn't you catch me, brother? And I said, you taught me to be led by the Spirit, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, the Spirit said, if you don't move, you're going to get killed. Okay. Your words had to be timely. That was a good one from the Holy Spirit. Move! Oh, okay. Oh, I can still see his face now. Okay, here we go. Your words are to be an investment. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things as surely as from the work of his hands rewards him. So this is some heavy-duty stuff here. I mean, heavy, heavy. Well-spoken words bring satisfaction, but well-done work has its own reward. So your words are an investment. So think about this. Whenever you're putting the right words in somebody's, to the right people, you know, there was a guy at Fountain that did the IT, and nobody could get along with him. And he was real quiet, and he just kind of walked around, kind of, you know, all hunched over. And so I used to tell him how good he looked. And I said, "Man, you kind of favorite Elvis, you know that?" And so I'd always say, "Man, you favorite Elvis, man, you got to sing me a song." And so he would go, he'd come in the office, and we come in the office and work on my stuff. He'd go, "At Christmas time, we're going to have a blue, hubba, 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 blue Christmas." Or he'd walk in, and I was looking at a joke. This guy that was so sad and walked around so pitiful, he'd go, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." And Christy, who I worked with, said, "What have you done to that man?" I said, "I just kept trying to build him up." And so then he built everybody else up laughing every time he come in and do the Elvis stuff. But again, it's an investment. Think about this thing. You know, investment. You know, just like we had an audit. And at the end of the audit, we really done great. It's the best audit we'd ever had. So I said, "Okay, tomorrow, lunch is on me. Where y'all want to eat?" They said, "We want to eat Chinese." I said, "Cool." So I went and got it for them. Went to the Chinese by Pizza Inn. I come back, and while we are eating it, talk about timely, while we're eating it, the girl sitting behind me pulled up the daily paper, and she looked on the very front page, and there was a picture of a fly in the ice at that Chinese restaurant. And she said, "David." I said, "What?" She said, "Can I show you this?" I said, "Wait a minute, I'm trying to finish eating." She says, "You might not want to finish eating after you see this." And so I saw where there was a fly in the ice, and said the man said he went and showed the people, and they said, "Well, we'll give you a 10% discount." And he walked out, and they were going to arrest him for walking out stealing the food. Look, no. Like I did one time before, I said, "Waiter, is that a fly in my soup?" I said, "What's that fly doing in my soup?" He said, "I think he's doing the backstroke." Okay, so here we go. An investment. What you say, if you'll think about it this way, it'll change the way you view things. What I say to my kids is an investment. How I say it to my kids, what I say to y'all is an investment. So sometimes you might think, don't think that I'm just coming up making up stuff because it's real stuff. It's stuff I see. And you might not believe it. You might not have that belief yet. But if I say it enough, because it is true, then you'll start believing it. And if somebody else will start saying it, you'll start believing it because it is true. You know what I'm saying? But again, what I give to you is an investment. So when you're talking to people, are you putting money in their account, their mental account, their spiritual account, their emotional account? Are you adding words to their account? Are you taking out of their account? I've got people that add to my account every time I get around them. I got people that take away from my account every time I get around them. Okay? You know, they say you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends. Or you pick your friends, but then you pick your friends and you pick your nose, but you can't pick your friends' nose. How's that go? Okay. But you can't pick your family. You can't pick your family. And so because you can't pick your family, sometimes there's people you just have to be around, period. But what I was going to say is, though, when you're around them, you got to remember, some people just naturally take out of your account. Every time you get around you, they take out of your account. Just already know that. So when you see them, you're prepared. And do not in turn take out of their account. I'm going to tell you how you can stop them at least a little bit. When they're taken out of your account, make sure you still keep putting it in their account. Okay? You may not stop them from ever doing it again, but you can slow them down because you're still talking good to them. Number 10, let your words be loving. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I see people all the time, especially in the Church of God, these Pentecostals, you know, There was one thing they used to say, preachers of evangelists used to say, said their hair was down to here, their sleeves were down to here, and their tongues were down to here. You know, wag. You know, it's crazy. You know, you can have all these gifts, but if you don't have love, all those gifts that you're doing is just a big noise. You gotta have love. You gotta show love. You gotta show it. Let your words be loving. You shall not give false testimony. Again, you know, I need to be loving in what I do. All of us. You know, how long? Let me ask you a question. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, "You can judge a man." You can. He says, "You give a man." It was Abraham Lincoln said, "You can judge a man by how he treats those that cannot return unto him what he gives them." Also, Abraham Lincoln says, if you want to test a man's character, don't take away from him. If you want to test his character, give him power. That's how you test his character. Because if you've got the power, you know, and I know I've told you all this, but it just keeps ringing in my head. When I wound up being environmental director and then ISO manager, I mean, I had so many hats, but there was this one guy that was doing... we were over in the metal shop, and he did special work. And we got back two boats that equaled up to about, I don't know, $900,000. And the powder coat was messed up on both of them, like a third grader. And so his job was on board. This same guy, for the last 6 months, had been cussing, and making fun of him. My head man said, "You've got the power to fire him." I said, "I don't want to fire him. That's not in this." I said, "God will make it happen. It'll be all right." And he'd get around people and talk junk about me because he didn't like my old boss man. That's where it came from. He hated my old boss man because I was given the job. All of a sudden, I hated me. I inherited his hate. And so what happened was, This came up. He came to me and he said, "I'm going to get fired." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's powder coat." He said, "It's awful." And I saw him. He said, "It's awful." He said, "They're going to fire me." And I said, "Not yet. Hold on." He said, "I didn't do it." He said, "But they said I did." And I said, "Well, hold on." And so I went looking. I went through all the databases. I went looking. And it took me a week because of the rest of my job, too. But it took about a week. But I searched it down, and when I searched it down, I found out that this was the last two boats that the other guy, he took the place of it. But it looked like he had done it, and he was mad, and so he done a sorry job. When you got a $500,000 boat, a sorry powder coat. Okay. So I went to him, and I said, "Look at these numbers here, and look at this name. Look at this stuff." I mean, I had to really research it down to the very minute thing to find it because it looked like this guy. He went, "Whew." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I ain't through yet. I want to do some more research." And then I walked over to Mr. Fountain and I said, "This guy didn't do this." I said, "The guy you fired did this." And he was mad. He said, "Oh." I said, "So you don't need to fire this guy. He didn't do anything wrong. His work has been impeccable. I haven't had any complaints about his work." All the complaints came to me. I said, "Yeah, I ain't having any complaints about his work. I'm getting complaints about this other guy's work." He said, "Thank you for telling me that." That guy went from cussing me and from calling me names and talking junk to start calling me. He said, "Hey, Rev, how you doing, bro?" And he said, "Rev, can I help you? What can I do to help you? What can I do to make your life easier?" And if he see me doing anything, he would break his neck to go help. Well, I came out here full time here, so I left Fountain. Well, years later, my father-in-law says, "I had this guy move next door to me." And he said, he told me he had just retired from Fountain and said, "I asked him to know you." And he said, "When I mentioned your name, he started crying." And he thought, "What has David done to him now?" And he said, hold on there, bro. What's wrong? Why are you crying? He said, you don't understand. He said, David saved my job. He said, I talked so nasty to him. I talked so ugly to him. I had to eat him up. And he said, he could have gotten me back. He could have gotten me fired. He said, but that man went to bat for me above and beyond to save my job. I would do anything for that man. And I saw him a couple of weeks ago at Walmart. He broke his neck to get me to give me the great old big hug and tell me he loved me. You see, your words, your actions need to be loved. Because love does cover a multitude of sins. There was a multitude of sin there. My love covered my eyes to it. I didn't look at what he'd done. I looked at who he was. He was a child of God. And he was worth saving. But you know now, he's in church. He's doing great. I mean, he's having a good old time. When I see him now, he just has a great old time. You know? Then I had another guy who used to cuss. He cussed me left and right. Man, he cussed me. And there was somebody in Fountain that had a son that had cancer. And their insurance wouldn't cover all the costs. So they were trying to get together a band to go play it. Some place to raise money. And so they come to me and said, we want a Fountain band. And so they come to me and said, will you go play the bass? And I said, well, really rather not play the bass because I know some of y'all guys. Y'all guys are tough. And they go, no, we'll not be so tough. This is for a good cause. This is for this young guy's got cancer. I said, well, in that case, yes, I'll do it. And so I got a chance to be with that guy that cussed me and carried on. And he told me, he said, come and play in my church, which was the club place we were at, the lodge. And one Sunday morning, he came up to my church with his guitar. And he said, dude, you really showed me something. You come and played in my church and didn't judge me. He said, so I'm coming to play in your church. Awesome. Love covers a multitude. It's awesome. Any questions? Any comments? y'all know y'all are still communicating. Some of y'all communicate like, look, I can look at you. Some of y'all going like, I'm glad this is over. No, it's fine. I like when Jack Leeson says, son, I'm going to go home. First thing I'm going to do is pop your mama right square in the mouth because ain't no way you came from my loins. All right. Isn't it cool talking about communication? It's been cool. Yeah, we're having a good time. All right. All hearts and minds clear? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this chance to be in your house, to worship in spirit and truth. Help us, God, to just know that no matter how we hold ourselves, we're always communicating 24/7. We're communicating. Help us communicate with love and with honesty and building up people, not tearing them down. The world tears them down enough. They don't need our help. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.